Now, some of you may be thinking this message looks familiar. Nobody? Okay. In fact, it's the same title as last Sunday, but an altogether different message. Did you hear Brother Waller about the pastor who preached the same sermon Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? And finally the deacons caught on? And the deacon said, "Pastor, what's going on?" And he said, "What do you mean?" And he said, they said, "Well, you're preaching the same message Sunday after Sunday." And he said, "What's that message about?" And they said, "It's about tithing." "Oh, well, good. Message received. I'll keep preaching it until you start doing it." This is not that kind of repeated message today, although it is the same title as last Sunday. It's an altogether different text, altogether different message as well. You see, last week we observed God's people as they received a foretaste of what God would have for them. A foretaste, a vision, a touch at what He had in store for them. They had the opportunity to explore the promised land. In fact, they sent 12 spies in there for 40 days. You'll recall us talking about that. And during that time, they saw the goodness of the land. They saw the bounty of that land. They acknowledged the goodness of that land to the people when they came back. They even brought proof, evidence of God's goodness in that land back to the people. However, then 10 of those 12 spies recommended going against God's invitation. 10 spies operated out of fear instead of moving in faith. And those 10 were able to persuade the entire nation to go against God's will and God's call for them. You see, those people last week, as we looked at their experience, they were willing to see what God had for them. But they weren't willing to seek what God had for them. Have you ever been to the store and somebody asks if they can help and you say, "No, I'm just shopping"? That's kind of what they were doing. They were looking around in that land for all those days. They were just window shopping. They weren't really wanting to buy anything that day. You see, they were unwilling to pull the trigger on obedience in that experience. Well, we read the result of their failure last week in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 34. The result was that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 days. 40 years. They would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. In fact, it says they would wander for 1 year for every day they spied out the land. That's how their punishment came to be. Well, during those 40 years, those 10 unfaithful spies perished. Those two faithful spies, they flourished, they survived, they thrived, and everyone over the age of 20 perished during those wandering years in the wilderness. Now this morning we want to look at their adventure from the other end. Last week we looked as they were going into the wilderness. This week we're looking at their wilderness experience. What did they see? What did they experience while they were in that wilderness? And we have right here in this episode of Scripture, Moses standing before them, and he's giving them final instructions before they begin stepping into the promised land. Now, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, I'll share this with you. In fact, I've shared it before, but it's Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2, which says this: "It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea." What a simple verse. But it's saying to God's people that if they had simply been obedient, they could have been in the promised land in 11 days. But instead, it took them 40 years to reach the promise that God had for them. See, sometimes I'm like that. Sometimes I find myself wandering out there in a wilderness, not a wilderness that God has for me, but a wilderness that I place myself in because of my lack of vision or my lack of obedience in my life. And we see that taking place. That simple parenthetical statement of Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2 is a great verse to remind us of what God wants for His children. And He wants it quickly for us, if we simply will be obedient and hearing people. In today's message, Moses reviews with the children of Israel. He's reviewing with them just how good God was to them during 40 years of wilderness wandering. Think about that for a second. It sounds almost like an oxymoron that God was good to them during 40 years of wilderness wandering. But in fact, that's what Moses is saying. So here's the question for us today. How good has God been to you during your darkest and deepest episodes of life? How good has God been to you? You see, this morning it is possible that some of you are wandering in a wilderness this morning. And it's possible this morning that you may have been there already for a good while. It's possible that you have just come out of a difficult time in your life. And perhaps you have questions about those travails in your life that you have experienced. Maybe you have a friend personally, or have a family member who's experienced difficult times. Maybe you've even heard someone ask the question, how could God, if there is a God, how could a loving God not intervene in those difficult times? How could a loving God not care for His people? How could a loving God make them walk for 40 years in the wilderness? Well, my friend, today's passage answers such questions about God. I want us to focus our attention, but right here, Moses begins by reviewing those 40 years of wanderings. You see, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness because they were disobedient people. We know that's the case in their situation. But Numbers chapter 14 and verse 34 records that their punishment was 1 year for every day they explored the land. However, my friends, desert times, difficult times are not always related to punishment. Did you hear that? It's important that you understand that desert times are not always related or connected to punishment in your life. If we were to compare Job's experience of suffering, we find that his suffering was not connected to any disobedience in his life whatsoever. You see, Job did nothing to bring God's ire down upon him. One thing that Scripture does not tell us, we do not know how long Job suffered. Scripture doesn't say. But one thing we're certain of is that God saw Job through that period of difficulty in his life, and then God restored him everything that he had lost. In fact, God restored him even to a better position. Again, I say, if you're going through a difficult time, it may not necessarily be related to sin or disobedience in your life. We must understand that this morning. Friends, I want us to understand this desert experience of God's people. I want us to understand why they went through it. I want us to understand that there's a particular way that we are to view our times of suffering as well. It's all covered in God's Word in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. Now, Moses reviewed their desert experience with them, and he pointed to several things that God wanted them to know about that experience. You see, no person ever enters suffering without a reason. If you're suffering now, if you've suffered in the past, when you suffer in the future, there is a reason for that. I want you to understand that. Suffering may or may not be the result of sin in our lives, but even so, every hill and every valley of life has God's purpose stamped upon it. God intends each and every hurdle of your life to be of benefit to you. Now, friends, our outlook on suffering can be bad, can't it? Have you ever gone through a time of suffering and been angry about it? Mad about it? Had a bad attitude about it? We probably all have been there if we're honest about it. In fact, I know that by experience. In fact, for me, it's been one of those weeks in which God has turned my comfortable little life upside down in some ways. I can't say I'm happy about it. I can't say that I'm rejoicing about it. But here's what I can say. I've come to know that God loves me. And I've come to know that I can put my entire faith and trust in Him. He has never failed me yet. He will not fail me now. He will not fail me in the future. It's just a matter of what will I see in this moment of my life. Will I rely upon Him? Will I depend upon Him? Will I let Him be the God that He is? Will I let Him be the God that He wants to be? Will I let Him be my God? You see, it's a good time this morning to ask the question, what will you see when suffering comes your way? What will you see? Moses points out three things in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. I hope that you're there this morning. The first thing that Moses points out is this point. First point, God provided. Very simple. God provided. God provided. We must not miss the fact that God provided for His people during these wanderings. God provided for them. Notice what God provided. Scripture tells us in verse 3 that God provided food for their hunger. It goes on to say that God provided bread. It goes on to say that it was just not any ordinary kind of bread. But God provided bread for them, a special bread, a bread that was heretofore unknown by mankind. It's a bread that is given the name manna right here in Scripture. No one knew what it was. That's what manna means, by the way. What is it? But this special bread required or provided a reminder that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, though bread or food, shall we say, though food has the ability to sustain life, food does not have the power to give life. You follow what I'm saying? Bread can keep us alive because it's fuel for our bodies, but it's God who gives life. What did He do? He gave them life. For 40 years in the desert, He provided for them. Remember the occasion that Jesus quoted. It was during His own temptation time. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, as well as Luke chapter 4, verse 4. But Jesus, during that time when Satan tempted Him with bread when He was hungry, Jesus said what? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, God provided bread for them. But also a great lesson that bread alone is not enough. to give life. Life consists more than of just bread. We also see that God provided in verse 4, God provided clothing. We see in verse 5 that God provided discipline for them. We see in verse 7 about that discipline. That discipline was toward their future. It was toward a better future for them. It was toward a better day, toward a better land. That's God's discipline that He provided for them. We also see in verse 15 that God provided water. I'm just listing everything in the chapter that God provided is all I'm doing here. But God provided water. In verse 15 it says, there was no water. He brought forth water out of the rock of flint. Again, God provided for their needs physically during that time. Verse 11 gives us one more thing that God provided. Notice these words. He says, forget not. What's He saying to them? He's saying, remember what I've done for you. Remember what I've done. Don't forget that I provided these things for you. How often do we walk through difficulty? And we're glad that we got through it. But the minute we're through it, we forget that God walked with us day by day and step by step. God says, don't forget. Why should we not forget? Because He's teaching us. He's giving us a lesson. He's reminding us of His ability and of His dependability. All I'm saying, this first point is this, God provided. Friends, He provided in a desert, a place with no means to provide life. He provided for them in a desert place. He provided not just for a handful of people, but for a nation of people. He provided in a desert and for a nation and for a long time, 40 years. You see, we're serving an inexhaustible God, a God who can meet every need in our lives. We are to remember it. We are not to forget. If you'll simply take a moment this morning to remember, you'll recall that God provided for you in your every trial. A second thing that we see in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy is not only that God provided, but secondly that God protected. God protected them. Verse 4 says that God protected by prolonging the durability of their clothing. Now, maybe I shouldn't ask this question, but is anybody here wearing 40-year-old clothing? Brian is. Okay, good. Anybody? You know, we don't keep our clothing that long. I'm not sure if any clothing would last 40 years, but God sustained them, helped their clothing to last for 40 years, made it durable, that for 40 years their raiment did not wear out due to its age or due to the work that they were doing. Verse 4 says that God protected them physically. Now, that's what is meant when Moses said, neither did thy foot swell in the wilderness. He took care of those physical ailments that they also might have normally suffered. God kept them clothed. God kept them physically fit and able to endure the years. Verse 15 says that God protected them through a terrible wilderness that is inhabited by fiery serpents and scorpions. In other words, there were dangers there to endure. But what did God do? He protected them from the dangers of normal everyday life there. You see, if we will simply take a moment to remember, we will see that God protected you in your every trial of life. There's a third truth we find in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, and it's this, God proofed. That's not a typo. We've seen that God provided, We've seen that God protected, and now we see that God proofed. If you look in the dictionary, you see that the word proof is to test. It's to examine for flaws. God was trying to proof His people. Not only was He trying to proof His people, He was trying to prove Himself to them. A God who is able to meet their needs. Verse 2 tells us that God had a purpose in their desert walk. I know you've read this, but God wanted to test them. God wanted to prove what was in their hearts. God wanted to see if they would keep His commandments. He was trying to test them to be sure they could do what He wants them to do. Friend, there's one common thread that runs through every test. You know what it is? Here it is. Through every test of life, God is asking one simple question: will you rely on Me? Amen. That's the question in every test of life. Will you rely on Me? Will you depend upon Me? God is saying, I want you to know and to remember that I am able. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Will you rely on Me? Will you trust Me? Will you depend upon Me? Will you cast yourself fully upon Me? Because I am the God who cares for you. That's the common thread that runs through every trial of life. Verse 3 adds one more component to God's proof. It says that God humbled them. That means that they simply came to know that they could not make it on their own. Have you ever needed to be humbled? Have you ever come to realize, God, I'm not going to make it. I am not able. I am not all that I thought I was. Those are moments of humility that God gives us so that we trust in Him. God is humbling him. You see, God caused them to hunger physically, and then what did He do? He fed them. God demonstrated that His provision is not just in the bread, but it's in His presence, in His Word, in His walk, day by day with them. Verse 6 also gives us something else about God's proof. Verse 6 indicates that His commandments are the way in which His people are to walk. Oh, that's old news, isn't it? That's way back in Deuteronomy, but that is still good word for today. If we walk in God's commandments, that is the right way to walk. That's what He wants them to see. Verse 10, He revisits the front end of those wanderings in verse 10. It's a reminder that God wants to provide for them a good land. And here at the end, what is He doing? He's providing for them a good land. You see, God is one who makes promises, and He's a God who keeps promises. He proved that He's trustworthy. He proved that He was able. And I'll say it one more time, if you simply will take a moment to remember, you will see that God proved you and proved Himself in every trial that you've ever gone through. God proved you and He proved Himself. This morning in conclusion, 40 years of wandering. Though the Jewish people have been among us for thousands of years, those 40 years remain a pivotal moment in which they learned much about themselves and learned much about God. It was a trial. What about those trials in your life? Those are pivotal points in your life. Because in those trials, you learn much about yourself and you learn much about God. King David, though he was a man after God's own heart, his repentance, which we can read in Psalm 51, was a pivotal moment in his life. That apostle Peter, he failed in a very grand way. He said, "Jesus, I will never deny you." But yet, during what may have been the most important moment of his life, what did he do? He did, in fact, deny Jesus. That was a pivotal moment for Peter because it propelled him into a great future, that moment of failure. Then we have that apostle Thomas who doubted even the resurrection of Jesus, but his doubts became the band-aid needed to give him a great and glorious future. And then we have Paul the apostle. He had a horrendous past to overcome. He was militantly against Jesus. And yet when he came face to face with Jesus on that Damascus road, everything changed for Paul forever. Amen. My dear friend, I don't know all that you're going through. But this one thing I know, God knows what you're going through. You're better off with Him knowing than with me knowing. God already knows. And it matters not what your trial may be. It doesn't matter what your questions may be. It doesn't matter what your past may look like. It doesn't matter about your present moment. I'm telling you, God will see you through it. He didn't fail His people then. He will not fail His people now. He will take your life into His marvelous hands today. Right now, He will take your life just as it is. He will make you afresh. He will make you anew. You will never be the same if you will just let Jesus have His will and His way in your life. It'll never be the same for you. You may have been holding back for a while. You may have been reluctant. And you may even doubt what I'm saying this morning. You may even doubt His existence. But I'm saying if you give Jesus a try, He will prove Himself to be all sufficient for your need, for your trouble, for your trial. He will meet you in your desert today. Will you stand with me, please?